Welcome to Cybersecurity Where You Are, the Center for Internet Security's podcast. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO at CIS.
And I'm Tony Sager, Senior Vice President and Chief Evangelist at CIS. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we're online at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or running a state or local government.
So join us on Wednesdays as we discuss trends and threats, explore security best practices, and interview experts in the industry.
Together, we'll clarify these issues, creating confidence in the connected world. Welcome back to the Center for Internet Security's podcast, Cybersecurity Where You Are. I'm joined this week by my co-host, the CISO for the Center for Internet Security, Sean Atkinson. Sean, welcome back.
Thank you, Tony. Great to be with you.
And we have a friend joining us today for a really interesting episode, Dr. Kelly Masata. Hello, Kelly.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Sean.
Thanks, Kelly. And one of the things we're going to talk about, since our inception, the Center for Internet Security has always been seen as a community consensus organization. That is, we have a full-time professional staff, but really the power is in our ability to bring people together, primarily volunteers, to create the content that really is at the heart of the Center for Internet Security's mission. So one of the things that we're going to explore today is the nature of volunteerism, its role for the Center for Internet Security, and where we're going with it. And to help us with that question, some months ago, I asked a friend, Dr. Kelly Masata, to join us and to do a little background thinking about volunteerism and perhaps help us think about some of the best practices that we could put in place to help us for the future. So Kelly, if you could give the audience a little bit of background about yourself and where you're coming from and your role in this cybersecurity community.
Sure, Tony. Thanks so much for having me. So I'm Dr. Kelly Masata. I am Chief Trailblazer and founder of Sightline Security. We are a nonprofit that helps other nonprofits assess cybersecurity risk. And as you can imagine, a nonprofit ourselves, we're dealing with this complex asset of volunteers, as well as watching how our members are managing volunteerism. The other half of the hat, because I am a Gemini, so I always have two sides of every coin, is I am the president of the Open Information Security Foundation. We build Cirrucato, which is an open source network monitoring technology. So I've been in open source for the better part, oh my Lord, I think it's going on 15 years, Tony, which is striking to me. And as many people know, volunteers are at the heart of open source. So this topic of volunteerism is very near to my heart, but also hits all these different pockets of my life.
Yeah, I think for a lot of folks also, it's a chance to learn a little bit about the interconnectedness of all these open source, nonprofits, volunteers, and so forth. So yes, we at CIS are hopelessly dependent upon the work that you do with the Open Information Security Foundation and Cirrucato. So we really appreciate the great work that comes out of there. So just to kick us off here, so we brought you in to take a look at this question of volunteerism for us. Could you give us a little background on how you approached it, your sort of basic methodology, and how you got started in learning about our use of volunteers?
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the things, and this kind of hits lots of spaces in security and just general business, you think you know what you know, right? And if you can come into a topic area and say, you know what, I'm just going to come in with that fresh mind, do the research, bring some experience with me. But I came into this initiative really with the mindset of, I want to talk to the folks at CIS that are engaging with the volunteers, but I also wanted to talk to the volunteers themselves and to sort of marry that perspective of what's happening inside CIS and all the cultural elements that drive those volunteers, but also bring in an external perspective from research, from my own experience and other things.
Yeah, that's a great framing of it, because I think, you know, we had an operation, we just celebrated 25 years at CIS, and there's a temptation, right, to say that volunteerism is just kind of there. It's a black box, and we make assumptions about its availability and how we use it. But yeah, and that's one reason we really appreciated you bringing some fresh eyes into the equation. And Sean, this is volunteerism is not an area you deal with directly, but you do wind up supporting that, right, through our volunteers' access to IT, for example, and how we have policies around that.
Absolutely. I'm the beneficiary of it. All this great information coming in and I get to use it. It's fantastic. No, I think You know, one element that I always think with the volunteer community is what an asset. And I love the title Chief Trailblazer, by the way. I just had to comment on that. So absolutely fantastic. But it really is, when you think of the passion and the dedication and coming in and really just providing that back to the community, we are unique in cybersecurity. And that's not just from the challenges and the defender's dilemma and things of that nature. We have people who are dedicated, really bringing their skills and their capabilities to fruition, and just showing such amazing diversity in thinking. And I think in some cases, it may be cathartic for some, in that they're able to have a voice in a community that has a lot of money thrown at voices to overwhelm. But open source and bringing in volunteerism gives a unique platform. And Kelly, obviously your work, obviously a big fan, so I mean just a fanboy over here at the moment, is being able to appreciate not only one, the dedication, but then also a commitment and continuing that. And you know, our 25 years, I think, Tony, we've got volunteers that have followed us, have grown with us in that time, and it's absolutely fascinating to see the commitment and the passion that the volunteers have. And what they contribute. And again, I'm the beneficiary. I love all these ideas that come through and just the fruition that I get to really appreciate from a different side. Because I had used the CIS controls many, many years ago in other organizations, and then seeing how it's made, Tony, as it were, getting that benefit is
wasn't too scary.
No, no. Yeah. Not at all. Not at all. Just a lot of appreciation. So
Kelly, give us some sort of observations about when you spoke to the folks inside CIS, right? The people that sort of manage volunteers, find them, employ them, and so forth. And any conclusions or things that you could share with
you? Absolutely. You know, I think with any organization, particularly an organization with a history like CIS has, that you have an evolution, right? The volunteers have been always part of the mission, have always been a part of what makes CIS so special. But as any organization grows, you sometimes lose track of things like systems and process and operational components when it comes to something that almost feels like it's a natural element. And I think that's one of the things that was really striking to me when I was talking to CIS folks, was that they recognize the beauty and the history of this, the history of the volunteers at CIS, but they're recognizing that changes need to be made in order to sustain those volunteers, to look ahead to who the future volunteers of CIS could be. And so their minds are thinking about, like, how should we be tracking this? What's our return on investment? How do we recruit new talent? Because I think even as we look outside of CS and think about the, you know, sort of the population of people out there, folks are spending their volunteer hours in different places these days. So we have to think ahead of that as well. And it was beautiful for me to chat with many of the CIS staff members, because they are just as committed and passionate as volunteers, which was beautiful. But they also recognize we've got to make some changes, and we've got to start focusing these efforts and looking at volunteers as a strategic asset, but also look at CIS as one CIS and not just these different pockets, particularly when it comes to volunteers. So there were a lot of those shared mindsets around the organization.
Yeah, and I think that's a great observation, Kelly, and it matches, you know, for the leadership team, right? The awakening was, you know, the shift from volunteers are there, they're kind of a black box and, you know, hooray, to thinking of it as a critical resource for the company. Right. And if it's a critical resource, then, well, what's the health of this critical resource? Do we have enough? Where right. is it going? Are we developing new resources here? You know, are we managing them in a consistent way? So you talked about processes and so forth. And again, as we scale, you know, things that would have worked when the entire company was seven or eight people, there weren't a lot of mysteries, right? Everyone sort of knew what everybody was doing, and you could manage it differently than when you've got hundreds of people spread across, you know, multiple line organizations. It's a really different problem, and I think that is, you know, is fair. And to Sean's point, you know, Sean, I mean, technology is full of volunteerism, you know, from standards bodies and all kinds of things that operate. But there's something passionate about, I think, cybersecurity, right? There's just a tremendous reservoir of goodwill, highly talented people who feel a sense of responsibility for example, the security of the internet. And I always said, left to our own devices, you know, they're such smart people, but also highly opinionated. We would love to be in endless debate societies. So we need to have a structure, the structure that Kelly talked about, right? What is the roadmap? What are the products? What are the things that we're going to create? And that will allow us to get the best value from the, you know, from all this incredible talent and all this energy. So you heard you had a receptive audience on the CIS side. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your surveying of volunteers and what you learned from that.
Oh my goodness. It was so much fun. I really just have to say, CIS super fan for a long time. You know, I've been on the outside of the walls and just going, wow, so cool. Such a great organization. When I got to talk to the volunteers, I was already going into it with a very sort of positive mindset, but I was blown away. These are people who have this unwavering commitment to CIS, but they're also not doing it just selflessly. They want the recognition. They want to be, you know, they want to have those accolades. They want to know that they're adding value. So it was a really powerful conversation with, gosh, I've lost track. I should have grabbed the number, Tony, before the podcast. But the ones I spoke to were just so plugged into the mission. I was confident of like, okay, so you guys aren't going anywhere. Not that that was asked, but there wasn't this undercurrent of, oh, this is a fly-by-night effort of them volunteering for CIS. This was a part of who they are. This is a part of sort of their professional trajectory and other things. But they did recognize, as I sort of expected, that they would like some formality around process. They'd like some formality around communication. They worried about things such as, what if this amazing community manager that they really like and that connects with all these volunteers were to leave CIS? You know, like their point of contact. So they were thinking about those things, which was really exciting. And I think what's also wonderful is that we talked a little bit, just kind of sidebar with a few of them, about things like conflict resolution. You know, how do things sort of happen in these community groups, in these working groups? And I was really surprised by how much these groups of volunteers actually function very successfully without a whole lot of guardrails. And again, I think that's part of the power of CIS, because you have that history and that reputation that a volunteer that's coming in is going to bring their A game. And that's incredibly powerful.
Yeah, that's a great point, Kelly, because the as you know from your own open source work, right? Again, industry full of amazing people, lots of strongly held opinions, a lot of great experience that people bring to it. And the challenge to keep everyone productively employed along the same direction, right? And not spend their time, you know, endlessly debating esoteric issues, but focused on creation. I think the sort of machinery of CIS, you know, that is, we're going to create this content, but also support it, update it over time, right? Refresh it when new versions come out and things. That says that process is incredibly important and will be honored, right? The work will result in something. And I think that is a really exciting part of what goes on. And Sean, as we've tried to structure better, right, we've had to think about things like policies, you know, how we interact with volunteers. It could be very casual when the company was tiny. It's like, who wants to come to a meeting? You know, can we get everybody together? And we didn't think, but now we're talking about a shared space, right? A shared social media platform. We're talking about the work that represents the output, right? And therefore affects the reputation of CIS. And we have to be much more conscious of how we manage that. Any thoughts from the sort of the inside of CIS, or how we, things we've had to do to better organize ourselves to manage the volunteer community?
Yeah, I think it, I'm going to need some time to think about that, Tony. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with my answer to this. I need some time on this one, Tony.
Happy 25 years, CIS. Back in 2000, a bunch of experts from government, academia, and private industry met at the Cosmos Club in DC.
Their mission was clear: help local communities, businesses, government, and critical infrastructure defend against cyber threats, regardless of budget or expertise.
CIS was born to fulfill that mission.
So, Tony, how have we done so far?
Well, let's take a look at the numbers. We detected and mitigated close to 320,000 cyber events, protecting public and private sector organizations.
We also blocked over 3 trillion potential connections to known malicious, suspicious, or otherwise risky sites in defense of critical infrastructure.
In 2024 alone, our guides received 1.5 million downloads for their straightforward, actionable security guidance.
And let's not forget 150 episodes of Cybersecurity Where You Are.
Certainly unforgettable, of course not. And honestly, Sean, that's just the beginning.
Absolutely. It's been an incredible 25 years, and we're just getting started.
The future of cybersecurity is evolving fast, and so are we at CIS.
We may not have all the answers yet,
but we've got the right people, the right mission, and a global community behind us.
So here's to the next 25 years of innovation, collaboration, and impact.
Join us on the journey at cisecurity.org.
All right, Tony, you know, we're back and I've thought about it. And here's where I think is a very interesting approach is, one, we want to provide kind of the freedom of expression in this space. We don't want to dilute, as it were, volunteerism and the ideas, the generation, but we do want some directionality, as it were, to provide an endpoint, a goal in which we can have achievement in that space. And so, you know, again, it's, as you mentioned, we've over the last 25 years, our maturation of managed both the technology, the access to individuals, and also the respective information. And again, as Kelly mentioned, the accolade element as well, our ambassadors in this space, very, very important. And achieving those elements do contribute, I believe, to success in the space. And really where we start to see what I'm going to call a flow of volunteerism as well. There is some that, you know, come in and, you know, provide very valuable feedback and then they withdraw. Some motivated to the next, what's next? What's next? Can I continue down this evolutionary route? And so what we've tried to provide is really a platform in which that is conducive to many different types of volunteers. And I think that's also important for management in that space as well, to encourage, help, meet them where they are. But also then we see the valuation, right, of that element coming back to us in terms of the some who may just be, I'll call them the commenters, right? We'll provide feedback. We think this is good. We can move forward. And then we've got the innovators who are bringing new ideas and being able to create an ecosystem where everyone gets to flourish. I think as I'm the beneficiary of all of this, but I think that helps us down a path that is conducive to those that are, how do I put it, serial volunteers on their journey. They contribute to many different elements, which is fantastic. And then some who are really entering the space, and we have such a friendly community and those that are conducive to, to step my toe into volunteerism, how does that look? And I think it opens up new opportunity and really keeps the volunteer flow fresh for us as an organization, at least in my opinion. And then I have to read Kelly's report to make sure that's an informed decision and opinion.
Well played, sir. Well played.
you're very close, Sean. You're very close.
Well, kind of underlying that, Sean, I mean, I used to say, right, almost every volunteer has a day job. So the management challenge with volunteers is different than the workforce that's employed by us, because you have to work around people's schedules, right? The things that they're doing, they're committed to, the things that pay their bills, and that flexibility. So people that want to try it one time, people that see it as part of their, part of their give back to the community, people that whose company gives them the time to work on these kinds of projects because it aligns with the company's mission. You have to accommodate all that, which means a kind of flexibility about management. As you said, we have to meet people where they are. What are they trying to bring, and how do we accommodate both these different talents, different levels of availability? And Kelly, you talked about so what we give back, right, is a bit of association with something important. Mm-hmm. People want to be associated with creation, with goodness, with products that have an impact on it. But what else are volunteers looking for, and what are we doing well, and what could we do better in terms of how we meet the needs of the volunteers from CIS?
Yeah, I think CIS has a couple of really great opportunities, in that regard. First of all, I think that there is a population of the current volunteer pool at CIS that might be aging out, with all due respect, right? We see that it's across the industry that we have to think about these expert minds aging out, which could be an opportunity for a different level or different role as a volunteer with CIS, if there's an opportunity for that. So there's, and then you've got, other folks that want to come in to be a volunteer, right? But they've only heard about all these luminaries and these super smart people being volunteers at CIS. So maybe they don't see themselves at CIS. So helping this population of up and coming security folks come in comfortably is always a challenge. We see this in open source all the time. We see folks that come in and say, I used to work at Tor, at the Tor project as well. Oh, I use Tor, I know Tor, but I can't be a part of that community. I'm not smart enough. And so there's opportunities to build out those programs and those storytelling and sort of that messaging to say, here are all the things we're looking at. But I think one of the biggest things that CIS has available to it, or an opportunity in front of them, is that leadership. We continually look at volunteerism, and when we do it very much in the open source space, we look at volunteerism and these folks that come into our communities, like they'll just come, like the movie Field of Dreams, which I watched on an airplane recently. I'm like, yeah, build it and they will come motto, right? For an organization such as CIS that requires this resource and this brain power, you have to almost shift your thinking away from this will always be to maybe we need to start thinking more strategically about that. And maybe that requires someone that's all they think about. Because adding volunteerism onto already full plates of staff members doesn't always work to help them think what's coming next and how to prepare for that. And I think CIS right now is ripe for opportunity to really tap into it. You've got the history, you've got the mission, you've got this incredible group of volunteers. Now is the time to say, what's the future? What will this conversation look like 10 years from now?
Yeah, I think that's right. And consistent with this notion that it's so critical to the success of CIS, that it's an executive level concern, right? Someone at a pretty senior level should care, should feel responsible, should report on, should be asking the organization, right, all the good working folks, what do we need? What will we need? What projects are coming up in the future, right? How do we integrate this into our project management? If it's a critical resource, then you have to be able to answer for it and make sure that it's there for us, when we need it. And I think that requires, more than casual attention. It requires us really thinking through that. And I think that
and there's sort of another part of that coin too, Tony, if I can jump in, is that I think there are folks that look at volunteers, and rightfully so, as this treasure trove of information, and let's go do a poll, and let's do a survey, and let's go ask, right, to help CIS generate sort of insights around new initiatives or products or whatever. Having someone that actually protects the volunteer pool from being inundated or without sort of strategic understanding, because what you want to also be very mindful of as not only people aging out, but new folks coming in is volunteer fatigue, because that's becoming a real thing. And it's funny, like if you look at pre-COVID, I hate to bring up the pandemic, but if you look at pre-COVID in that world, right? And then everybody was at home and everybody had a lot of free time and everybody gave, we saw it in open source, we got a lot of code because people were home. And now people are back into this post-pandemic headspace where they don't want to give up all that volunteering and that those extra things that they're doing. But life is getting in the way. Other demands on their time are getting in the way. So they're now having to pick and choose, or they're burning out. And that's a real risk.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that you also want to be able to do from the CIS perspective, right, is work with employers, you know, and but in addition to individuals, that is, in addition to the production aspect of it, you want participation in these teams to be a growth experience for people, right? They're now surrounded by expertise. Some of whom are more senior, less senior, but some of whom have really different expertise or different experience in the same technology. And the chance to interact, you know, when I've been involved with teams, it is just delightful because you hear so many things, right? Experiences that you could never have personally. You're just surrounded by that. And so it's a growth experience. So, you know, again, we sort of a wise path here is to make sure that we have the support of employers who see this as a growth experience, not as a drain. And that allows people then to sort of plan it as part of what they do.
So imagine a beautiful like summary report on an annual report for those employers on how much was given back and the progress that was made because of the investment that they gave in the allowing their team members to volunteer for CIS. That would be very powerful. And lots of nonprofits do that as part of their annual report anyway. They calculate volunteer hours. They calculate the impact. They calculate the ROI of those volunteers on the mission. And so that's a beautiful opportunity for CIS.
Sean, she's taking us back to that chief trailblazer job description.
Oh, sorry.
It's like she's trailblazing all this new work for us, which is very exciting. So, but you're right. You know, we do sort of calculate the hours, but it's hard to get a handle on the impact part. But you're right. That is, you know, again, if you could just intuitively, when you look at the work, you go, oh my goodness, you know, with really a very small number of people inside the company managing the volunteerism, you get a tremendous amount of output, and it's kept up. It's kept current. Right. That's one of the things you can do that I think CIS brings is none of these things like a benchmark or controls or any security guidance is a one-time shot. You know, if you're not prepared to be in it for the life cycle of the technology, the latest version of Windows or whatever, you might as well go away because this will be changing constantly, right? And understanding of bad guys will change and understanding business use of technology. So you have to have this ongoing machinery. But I think your point is well taken. And one that, again, is an executive level concern that says this is this is a managed activity, critical resource. This is it's one of the factors that will limit our output, right? If we manage it well, we have more resource, more output is possible. If we don't manage it well, if it's kind of ad hoc, then we never really get to optimize the work that comes out of there.
Right. And you have to build that pipeline. You know, you need a pipeline of volunteers. We've talked previously, like I have this vision that, you know, you show up at RSA or you show up all these Black Hat and all these wonderful events where this larger security community comes together and you can say, hey, I'm Kelly, I'm Chief Trailblazer. These are all the superpowers I bring. Where does that fit into what CIS needs? Because the most powerful thing for volunteers to say, I fit there and I can help there. And the most valuing thing for volunteers to say, I'm here. Does anybody want me? And don't get a response.
That's right. And you know, again, we talked about the scarcity of the resource. Everyone has a day job. And so you don't want to just say, you know, we're the volunteers. You want to ask for this kind of skill at this right. moment in time to produce this kind of product, right? And that way there's a much better opportunity to match all that there. So you also surveyed a number of other cyber nonprofits and other folks. Mm-hmm. Any observations that we can learn from some of the broader community that you spoke with?
Absolutely. So I surveyed, kind of nonprofits across various missions, not just in the security space, but also some security nonprofits, because we're all sort of grappling with this. And, you know, the common themes were very operational. You know, many people are like, we have to look at recruitment. We have to look at onboarding. We have to look at storytelling and messaging and finding places to use these volunteers. So everyone is grappling with this idea, because it's very easy to get someone excited in the moment and say, come on and be a part of us. And here's a sticker, or here's a journal. I have my CIS journal on my shelf. Like, it's very easy to like get someone in and excited. It's super hard to keep them. It's very, very difficult to keep them engaged, or to really just say, thank you for playing. You can go on and we'll call you when we need you again. So all of these volunteers, or all of these nonprofits, are also struggling with some of those operational elements, because it is difficult for people to remind themselves that volunteers are not free. They are not free to the organization. They take time, they take effort, they take, you know, marketing, they take all the, they take human resources for onboarding and offboarding. Like, it is not a zero cost to the organization. So everybody's trying to figure out, what's my, you know, equation that's going to make volunteers useful for us without depleting mission, and how do we recruit for them?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. Free labor doesn't come for free. You have to invest. And some of that
it's
requires
like
critical mass.
Not for free.
Well, people think it is, right? Exactly.
Exactly. Show you my balance sheet. It's not. Yeah.
So Sean, as a member of the executive team at CIS, I mean, what would be the picture that would be helpful to you, right? As the leadership team makes decisions, what does volunteer management look like from the leadership table?
No, absolutely. Well, I think the value proposition needs to be established. But I think then it's the, as Kelly mentioned, it's the investment in that pipeline and its curation. Because if we're seeing this value generation, you know, at this point in time, we want to encourage that or even improve it. That's, you know, how much does it take for me to contribute to that in terms of dollars and cents to get this value generated or even more, potentially with that goal-oriented approach? Or if we know we've got certain activities coming up within a, you know, defined period of time, we need to look at the controls, version 9, as an example. Okay, now we need, you know, to establish a community in the space to continue that work. It often, you know, kind of reflects onto the environment that we're in as well. You know, we've entered the AI age, whether we wanted to or not. We are now on that path, and getting volunteers in that space with that type of information and encouraging them to contribute in that area, very, very important, because they are necessarily very profitable in other areas with that type of expertise, but contributing that back, very important. And so, you know, I look at it from a couple different areas, from a topic type perspective, from the quality that we've also seen, but also making sure that the journey the volunteer is on with us is also, again, from a reputational perspective, that's curated in a way that, one, they feel they've contributed, they feel valued, and that they're also contributing to something that, you know, is driving this passion. We can tell that story now. I think you mentioned it, Kelly, storytelling.
Yes.
So important. I think that's why CIS has such a rich environment, because it's a great story that we've been able to tell for 25 years. I think that all contributes in that space. And so when I think of it from the executive perspective, Tony, is appreciation that it's not free, right? And I think there's contribution and investment, seeing the return on investment, but also seeing the return on value and curating necessarily volunteerism as a continued process. You know, the other thing I think of maybe this, and Kelly, I'll get your perspective here, but I see volunteer management in some cases as the original large language model, is we ask this community and they provide something back. It may take a little bit longer, but you've got such a kind of this reservoir, as it were, of expertise, talent, experience, knowledge, information, providing that wisdom back so we can make decisions, we can make new products, services, and really start contributing to the cybersecurity solution, as it were. So anyway, just a thought, it popped into my head. And but as we go down this path, very important, Tony, that we're starting to, you know, maybe check some of these items versus, oh, it's volunteers. It's a curated, managed, and really a business unit.
And many folks who come into CIS, you know, this was my experience once I left government and took over responsibility of the controls. And I realized, wow, you know, what we produce is actually an awesome responsibility. Awesome as in occasionally scary, you know, because people use our work. And we have a responsibility to do our best, right? To bring the best minds to bear, to create products. And it doesn't mean you have to get it perfect, but there is a lot riding on this, and people really count on our output as something that becomes embedded in their security improvement program or part of their way of thinking about the security problem. And so, yeah, that curation, that, you know, careful management of the resource, I think is really important, and only gets more complicated with time. As we watch, you know, all the complexity of technology and business and so forth.
So imagine if, because I love giving you guys new ideas, right? So imagine if volunteers could get a report at the end of the year. This is what your time and investment in CIS has given back to the mission. This is what you, Kelly, not just like broad strokes, but then I can look as a volunteer and go, wow, look at that's my work. Look at what CIS is doing. That I was part of that. That is so powerful. People.
Oh, that's a wonderful point. Yeah.
And that's where I think security folks want to make a difference. We all are feeling a lot of fatigue. There's a lot of doom and gloom in the world. And I think in the security space, if we give people that sense of purpose and hope, not to be too Hallmark, you know, Hallmark movie about it, but it really does make a difference.
Listen, if you work in cyber defense, you better be an optimist and a hopeless right. one at that.
Exactly.
I do. I wear rose-colored glasses.
No, I think you had the same experience. You know, as part of the celebration of the history of CIS, I talked to as many of the earliest volunteers I could find, some of whom are still doing work with us today, 25 years later. But to a person, all speak very fondly of their time working at CIS as some of the most satisfying work they have done. And these are not ordinary people. These are amazing people.
Yeah.
But there's a, you know, that emotional connection you talked about, which is they feel that they have contributed something, right? That has lasted and it's been updated and things have changed, but they feel very strongly connected to this mission as being important. And wow, that is an incredible asset for the entire community, but it's also a responsibility for us at CIS to manage carefully, right? We're operating a trust. This is, people have put their confidence in us, therefore they deserve the best back that we can do. But so Kelly, amazing project here. Oh, any other things you want to share with the audience? Because as we approach the 10th time.
So do you all remember, I think it's still around, remember StoryCorps? I think it was a national public radio initiative where they would set up these phone booths and family members, like two family members could come in and just say, hey, let's pretend we're at the kitchen table and start telling family stories, right? When I was interviewing the CIS volunteers, that image kept coming to my mind. I'm like, oh, I want to sit with these people and I want to get it recorded. And just because the stories that would pour out of these individuals, and I can't do it justice, like reframing it and like putting on in my own words doesn't work, but it would be so lovely because their voices and their stories about CIS and their dedication to this mission is very inspiring. And if you tail that on with hey, this is how you can be involved. That's a powerful, powerful campaign to consider. Adding more to your list. Sorry.
She has trailblazed yet another assignment for us. So we're going to have to go through and find our action list out of this episode here, Sean. But it's all great stuff, Kelly. I can't tell you how much we've appreciated the work that you've done to pull the story together for us and really challenge us to think about the next. So we're looking forward to working with you in the future and helping us put some of these things into place. And I think the importance will only grow because of both the things that we're trying to accomplish, but also kind of the nature and the complexity of the business environment. It says that we really have to pay attention to this. So timing is perfect here. And I think we're looking forward to more. Any last thought you'd care to leave with the audience while we have you here?
No, I just love CIS. This has been great. It truly was. It was a wonderful initiative. I'm happy to continue helping and brainstorming. I've got big ideas, of course, for you guys, as you can tell. But there's a lot of parts of security that rely on volunteers. And I think there's a lot of lessons that can be shared out that others can learn from.
I bet you can't wait for our best practice guide to volunteer management for cyber nonprofits or something along those lines. You're already a co-author, so we got you covered, Kelly.
Love it. Thank you, Tony.
Yeah. So with that, we'll wrap up this episode. Again, to our audience, thank you for your time and attention. Please, if you like this kind of content, and we certainly do, you can subscribe to us in any of the usual ways, and we look forward to sharing some ideas and some conversations with you in the future. Thank you again. Thank you for listening to the podcast today.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS.
Tune in on Wednesdays for a new episode. And in the meantime, visit our website at cisecurity.org.
Together, we'll continue our efforts of creating confidence in the connected world.